It's time for Off the Curve with Justin Spiro.
Welcome to Off the Curve, Justin Spiro. Happy to have you here with us again. It is a crazy week at Michigan State, crazy week in Michigan. Really, Michigan State becomes a fringe national story, a huge regional story with this Urban Meyer stuff. I want to bring in former Spartan Dog, a longtime leader of the program, well-respected quarterback, QB1, Brian Lewerke. How you doing, Brian?
What's up, Justin? How you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, I'm a big fan of your show. You are the program. You guys do a really good job. And, you know, I'm a loyal listener and have been. And you guys, when the Tucker news first broke, you guys had a very, I don't know what to think. Let's wait and see. You know, there's kind of two sides of the story thing. Let's, you know, move on to the Washington game, which it was probably a responsible way to handle that. I'm dying to get your take now that things have kind of settled. You know, you were a longtime leader of this program, a leader in the program, a prominent figure in the lore of Michigan State history and Mark D'Antonio's tenure here. Now that you've had a few weeks to sort of decompress and really flesh this thing out, what do you make of what happened there with Mel Tucker? What's your take on it now, sort of detached from it for a few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a touchy and interesting situation with him there. If I was a player, it's not something that I love. Obviously, you know, like a coach that's in your room, in your building, like leading you every day, that's not quite the example that you want to see from him. So it's not my favorite thing in the world. You know, so far, I think Michigan State's handled it really well. And I think they're doing the right thing so far.
Yeah, I think it's difficult. I feel bad for the players. I think they've been put in an impossible situation. And, you know, obviously the controversy, unfortunately, is going to drag on. We're going, you know, barreling towards litigation. And it just seems like a situation that we're not going to be done with for a while. And there's a lot of collateral damage in these situations. And I think they're going to have to navigate that. I mean, when you guys have because I'm sure you talk to your former teammates. I know you do a show with a couple of them. What's sort of the group chat former Michigan State player thing? I know what the current players are saying. I know what a couple of the former players are saying. What was your just feel with this situation? Are people mad at Mel Tucker? Is that what's sort of the vibe there generally with the former players?
To be honest, I mean, besides the guys that are on the pod with me, you know, I communicate with like Joe Bocci, Kenny, you know, Higby and a couple other guys on a daily basis. But I mean, it was kind of brought up. We didn't really like harp on it too much. It's like, oh man, here's another thing that, you know, Michigan State's in the spotlight again for the wrong reasons. I think that was just kind of the big point. We didn't really like, you know, chew it down too much, but obviously it's not a great situation by any means.
Is it frustrating for someone like you being, you know, this buttoned up guy, you know, never had any problems when you were there, a leader of the team, and you were never in any kind of trouble? Is it frustrating for you to have sort of the non-Michigan State people, you know, send you those messages saying like, what the hell is going on there? Like, does you get kind of fatigued with that?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And it, especially like even when I was there, we had controversy and, you know, stuff like that happened with the whole 2016 thing. And like, you kind of just have to move on from it and just kind of put it and be like, hey guys, that's not who we are. Like, this is like Michigan State's a great program. Like, you just can't really like think about that too much.
The thing that, you know, there's so many things you could get into at the Mel Tucker era that are disappointing and, you know, the promise of it and what it could have been and might've been, you know, in terms of having you on, the angle that I was thinking about was the whole leaning into the former players and welcoming them back. And that's something he talked about a lot. And that manifested in a couple of ways, I think probably most prominently with the Spartan Dog Con. And I think ended up being two of them. Did you ever go to either of the Spartan Dog Cons that went off?
I never did, no.
But as a general principle, I thought that was a good thing that he was sort of wrapping his arm around the former players and embracing them. And he seemed to be really leaning into the Michigan State, you know, sort of culture and history. To me, that felt kind of like a betrayal of the program, you know, and obviously in a number of ways, but just the fact that he was so big on, we're leaning into our history. We have a special thing here at Michigan State and, you know, we're bringing the former players back. I mean, do you feel like sort of in general, you know, if betrayal's melodramatic for you, that's fine, but you know, let down, I mean, on a personal level as a person that cares about the program?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, kind of, yeah. You know, I was never really a part of the Spartan Dog Con thing. But I obviously went back a couple times. I still love the program. And when you're like the head coach of a program, like you just got to realize that you're the spotlight. Like you can't be doing anything that would put yourself or the university in harm's way. And in a sense, you kind of does feel like he let the program down. And as a leader of men, he's just got to be a little better in situations like that. So, I still love it. The program, still love coming back and enjoying my time there.
If you get a call from, let's say, Sam Leavitt, and he says, Brian, you're a former Michigan State quarterback. You went through some controversy here, not personally, but sort of around you. And, you endured and stayed in place. And he says, I can hit that transfer portal. What do you tell somebody like that? What's your advice to somebody like Sam in that hypothetical?
Yeah, it's a tough conversation. I had that with myself after the 2018 year. Coach D was like, he was talking to me. He was like, hey, just want to know like how you feel about staying with the program or leaving. And I'm like, I'm committed. I got a lot of friends there. I mean, obviously, this is my fourth year, so it might be a little different for him because he's newer, hasn't quite developed a relationship with guys or maybe as much. But I stuck it out. I wanted to finish my time there. I love Michigan State. Love the state of Michigan in general. East Lansing is a fun city. I had a bunch of friends that I love there. I'd tell them that Michigan State is the right place for you. There's not a better program that in the country, I think, for growing up good men as well as good football players. And I love my time there. And the relationship with people you have in college, I think, lasts a lifetime. And it's tough to develop relationships like that when you're bouncing around school to school. That's what kind of sucks about the portal these days, is they don't get the true college experience of being on your own, being with guys your age and living with them for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's really something everyone says, oh, their alma mater, they have a special, we all have a bond or whatever. It's something, honestly, though, that objective sources have even noted. I mean, we've played it before in the past. Brian Windhorst was talking to Bill Simmons, ESPN basketball reporter Brian Windhorst. And he just said there's something about, I don't know what it is with these Michigan State guys. He was talking about Draymond Green and Ishbia and all the Michigan State NBA circle. He said, wherever I go, Michigan State people love Michigan State people more than any other schools love fellow alumnus. So it's interesting. Michigan State, I do think, has a unique bond among their, student body and then alumni base. So I think that's sort of the pitch there, aside from any football reasons. I want to pivot a little bit to this. So I've gotten myself into not hot waters, but certainly polarizing waters with this Urban Meyer thing. I'm fascinated for your take on this. This sort of took off. I started the raise the flag hashtag. And Ben, if you can pull that picture of The Rock. I don't know, Brian, did you see The Rock was painted by?
I saw that.
So yeah. I will proudly take not credit for having painted it, but for the hashtag, which I was spelled properly in my version of it. But I think the Michigan State student body seems to be mostly on board. I'm getting a lot of mixed. I got called out by Tabor Pepper, a longtime long snapper for Michigan State. Yep. He was very upset with me for campaigning for this. And Ben, I don't know if you pulled that. Yeah. So that's not what we're talking about, Ben. That's not we don't need the Bernie report. Tabor. Yeah. Bernie's the one that reported the Urban Meyer interview. Tabor called me out for saying that I wanted Urban Meyer here and said, I talked to a former, coach. Here it is. Okay. He goes, you're operating under the premise that I haven't had conversations with former players of his and coaches that have coached for him. I don't want him anywhere near East Lansing. Now, that's Tabor calling me out for wanting Meyer. I got a text message an hour after that from a former player saying he doesn't know what he's talking about. It was one of his former teammates. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I would take Urban here in 2 seconds. Where does Brian Wilwerke stand on the pirate ship and Urban Meyer coming to East Lansing?
I am on the side of the teammate that texted you that he would want Urban Meyer. Tabor has played in the NFL. He knows probably some guys from OSU that maybe know the backstory about Urban, but I don't. And all I know is that Urban Meyer wins football games. And he's been pretty much successful everywhere he goes besides NFL, but NFL's a whole different league than college. But I would love him having him here. I'm all aboard with that. And I think he'd be a winner in general. He is a winner. And I think he'd bring a winning formula to Michigan State.
See, I think you and I have the same mentality where, you know, we know there's the questions that exist there. And I agree. The NFL thing, like, who even cares? I'm not hiring him to coach the Lions, so I'm indifferent to that. I think Michigan State can be more than it is. I mean, that peak where, I mean, they want to share the Big Ten title before this, but really that 2013 and 2015 run, they were, you know, it was three top five finishes. I mean, that they were right at the peak of college football. I think they can be there more than just as a blip on the radar. And I think you need somebody of an upper level. Doesn't the need sort of arise even more so or increase with the expansion of the conference and the nature of the teams coming in? Isn't that even a better argument for Urban Meyer?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I see names thrown out of like smaller school guys, not necessarily smaller school, but, you know, smaller FBS schools. And it's like, yeah, like I think it could be good to hire someone that's, you know, come like new and upcoming and trying to make his name. But I also agree that maybe we should go after some big name guys. I think that'd be great. Michigan State's a big name program. They're, you know, top 20 brand, I think, in the entire U.S. So I don't think it's, you know, a bad thing by any means to try and go after a big name, maybe a coach that's already at a place. And I definitely think Urban Meyer, it might be tough to get him out of retirement. I think he's got a good gig over there at Fox. Like, it's a pretty stress-free job being a, you know, a reporter. So I think it'd be great to have him. And I would, you know, I think Urban Meyer would do great things.
I was talking to a former Ohio State player who, so this is where 2 degrees of separation, because this guy never played for Urban. He left before him, but was a longtime NFL player. And is still close to the program. And I'll tell you after who, but you know, has a lot of relationships with guys now and who played through the Urban era. And he actually saw my clip too, because I sent it to him and I was soliciting his opinion about, you know, the Tabor thing. And I sent him a clip of me talking about this. And he thought Tabor was wrong in one area. He said, the people that I talked to around Ohio State, guys in the league now, guys that just went through there, their issues with him were usually, I don't like my playing time, and Urban was a jerk about it. And he's just delivered a message really intensely. There was no, and this is just what he said. He said there was no like underhanded. There was no, oh, he promised me one thing and he did another. It was all just, he's an asshole. Does that really matter? Does being an asshole really matter if you're not doing anything in terms of the football team? I'm not getting into the personal stuff. Does that really matter if a guy's just a prick and demanding? I mean, you tell me, you were a player. I was.
Yeah. I mean, football is football, and coaches can be straight up and they can be harsh. I mean, I don't think like being an asshole is necessarily a bad thing, but it can also, you know, rub people the wrong way. So I can see like both sides of it, but I think if you're winning games, that kind of, you know, winning football games cancels out a lot of things. Like if it's you know, some guys are unhappy, but they're 12-0 making the Big Ten championship, like, you know, that kind of cancels out a couple things. So
is that report been in your text thread with your co-host there, your fellow former Michigan State player? That's Urban Meyer. Have you guys discussed Urban Meyer in that group chat?
Oh yeah. With like Joe and all them.
Yes.
Not as much. It's kind of been, it was thrown out there a little bit. It's more so between the, you are the program guys. But maybe if it, you know, gains some traction, gains some more wheels, it'll probably be thrown in there.
What's their take? I mean, not to have you speak for them, but are they more aligned with you? It seems mostly positive among the former players, Tabor yelling at me notwithstanding.
Yeah, I mean, all the guys on the podcast I'm with, they're all about it. To be honest, I haven't heard much from anyone else. But I mean, I think if with a guy with Urban's, you know, track record, I can't see that it'd be necessarily, you know, frowned upon. So
if someone says to you, you know, Michigan State's not good enough to get Urban Meyer, quit kidding yourself. That seems to be a common refrain. What would you say to that if someone says Michigan State's not good enough to hire somebody like Urban Meyer?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's ridiculous. We've, you know, under Coach D, we had a couple great years. And I think they contend for the Big Ten championship every year. For the most part, Michigan State does, in football and basketball. You know, we got the new football building came in. I think I just think that's kind of crazy to think that Michigan State's not, you know, up there in the top 15, 20 football universities.
I'm just glad to have you aboard the Pirates, man, because this is I'm pushing it hard. And, you know, I've done a lot of digging on this. Before the Bernie Fratto report, you know, I mentioned on one of my shows that there's in the big donor side of things, a lot of interest in Urban Meyer. And so that's a legitimate thing. And there's people trying to leverage that. So for anyone disputing that this is some meat on the bone and people saying this is all a fantasy, there are people with power in the Michigan State circle with a lot of power and influence that are not just okay with it, but are saying, like, let's get them, let's get this done. That doesn't mean it's going to get done. There's, you know, different factions there. And that's sort of the story and history of Michigan State leadership. So I just, you know, I keep emphasizing to people, don't think this is like a fake gossipy thing. There's enough there. And I do believe Urban was there this week. I think that speaks to his interest in this. I want to finish here completely unrelated. Kaiten Hauser going to be QB1. It sounds like those are the reports coming out for Rutgers.
Yeah, I heard that.
Were you in favor of that? I know you've had some comments about Jay Johnson and, you know, you're on your show. You guys aren't thrilled with some of that stuff. We won't even get into that. But are you excited to see a new quarterback under center from snap one on next Saturday?
Yeah, in general, I think short answer, yes, I am. To be long about it, I think No Kim, like, obviously he hasn't played fantastic. He's made throws when he needs to. He's kind of missed some throws when he's made bad decisions, missed some throws in some inopportune times. And when it comes down to the nitty gritty, when you've lost the last three games and you're not really producing at the quarterback position, that's just kind of the nature of the position. Like, he kind of got to make it change and go a different direction and see what the other guys got. I went through that my retro freshman year when I was the third string and we had lost like four or five games in a row. I started two, lost both of them, unfortunately, but at least, you know, we kind of went a different direction with me in that situation. And I think at this point it can't hurt the program. Can't hurt the team at all. So I'm in favor for it.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see him. He was sort of my horse to begin with. And it's not entirely because he answered my invitation and did my show. And I never heard back from Noah Kim. But I don't even think Noah saw the message. I don't think he threw him under the bus. I just think he's got the, you know, the bigger pedigree. Just he looks more like a Big Ten quarterback. I think that matters. You know, and I think Kim is a solid guy. I just think it was time to make that switch. And you don't want to see Hauser go out the door. I lied. I do have one more question. I realize I have to ask you while I have you. Did you guys only win in 2017 because of the rain?
No. I mean, it definitely helped. But, I mean, we're the ones that decided not to throw the ball. They decided to keep throwing the ball and throwing it right to us. So I can't take any blame for the rain there. I mean, neither team could really do anything, and they decided that they could throw the ball and were giving it to us. So, I mean, I can't really – yeah, no, we did. That was just a crazy game in general, and the rain didn't help, but it also didn't hurt, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you had a bigger lead when it wasn't raining. I could argue maybe you beat them by more because you said it helped. It may have hurt your path to a blowout. I mean, that's I could make that argument too.
Very true.
Were you aware of Braylon Edwards, you know, coming out on Valeni? Was that something you guys saw afterwards about how
after that game
for the rain? And
was it that was right after the game? You said that.
Yeah, that was the following Monday. Okay. Braylon Edwards, you know, former Michigan great receiver, went on Mike Valeni's show here in Metro Detroit area.
Yeah.
And said if it wasn't for the rain, we win that game. And you guys, Michigan State, only won because of the rain. So you obviously dispute that. Was that something you guys were aware of, that narrative was out there with Braylon and others?
Honestly, no, I didn't hear about it at that time. And I'm sure I heard about it at some point, you know, later on in the season or something. But immediately after, no, I didn't really hear much about that.
Yeah, I can't imagine throwing in that. I mean, I would ask you what it was like, but you guys were running the ball, which was
smart. I don't think we threw the ball one time in the second half.
It was smart. You did the right thing.
Yeah.
I mean, O'Korn completed more passes to Michigan State players than you did in the second half. I mean, that you guys did what you had to do. All right, Brian Warkey, I really appreciate your time. I'd love to have you back, and people should check you out. You know, subscribe or whatever. I have you on my list on Spotify. I love your show, man. You're doing a great job.
Appreciate it.
Brian Warkey, thank you very much. That was Off the Curb. Justin Spiro. Catch you next time. Thanks.